attached. Go to kboo.fm/give to make your donation now. And thank you to the Juan Young Trust, Vernier Software, SSI Shredding Systems, and the Wendy Foundation for empowering KBOO with their matching contributions. Thank you for your support.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Sex Workers Monthly Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. Showing on December 6th at 7 p.m. will be American Courtesans, a feature documentary that takes you into the lives of the American sex workers. 11 women discuss candidly what brought them to the doors of the sex trade, what they found when they got there, and why they stayed. Again, that's American Courtesans, Saturday, December 6th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You know what? Shut the door. I can hear that beeping. Announcer
what? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Theater on Community Radio KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
Tonight, on the first day of December, we usually air an UBU Christmas pagan tree.
No more Christmas specials. This is only December 1st. Too many other holidays lie between today and the alleged and invented date of our Lord and Savior, Mr. Christ.
But we don't have time to cover them all. It's way too early to celebrate Christmas, but today, December 1st, is the Christian holiday of Feast Day.
Not to mention that this day is also Freedom and Democracy Day in the nation of Chad, unlike Chad Hanging Day, which happened about a month ago.
Today, December 1st, is Great Union Day in Romania. It's National Day in Burma. Does one go shopping on Great Union Day or National Day?
Fulvi Dostaryumin, or Self-Governance Day, is celebrated in Iceland, a country almost in the North Pole. Self-governance? Isn't that a euphemism for not masturbating?
Please, listeners, if you were about to masturbate, please wait until after midnight so as not to offend any Iceland dickers out there listening to this broadcast.
During this next hour, we here at the UBU Hour will endeavor to air programming that will not arouse or titillate listeners who are trying to self-govern.
That's right, you smut peddlers. These are the holidays, so lay off the heavy breathing and erotica and air wholesome material for the whole family.
Today is Teachers' Day in Panama, and it's Military Abolition Day in Costa Rica.
Military Abolition Day. We need that here.
And all across Earth, people observe World AIDS Day today, the first day of December.
You are.
Whether it falls on a Monday or not.
Today is World AIDS Day, so instead of Christmas, we will celebrate AIDS. Ugh, that didn't come out quite right.
Let's hear it for Military Abolition Day.
What does it matter? The podcast won't be up until tomorrow.
Well then, I'd like to apologize right now to all those people listening to the podcast of this show. We at the UBU Hour send out to you our regrets that the holiday that this show is celebrating has already...
Military Abolition Day!
Self-Governance Woo! Day!
...has already passed.
And to all the listeners who are listening to this as it airs on our web stream or from a physical radio, I would like to apologize for wasting your time with that last apology, which does not apply to you.
To hell with this. Let's just go on to something else. Okay, it's time now for our new segment.
Phone news, we distort. You comply.
Will O'Reilly here at Faux News. And with me here is frequent guest Ann Coltergeist. And tonight we discuss new assaults on the war on Christmas. How are you, Ann?
Well, Swill, in yet another example of the secularist extreme left's Grinch attempts to steal Christmas, we found a radio station in Portland, Oregon that replaced their annual Christmas show with a World AIDS Day show. This is just more proof that homosexuals are behind the war on Christmas. We Christians are the bastion between God-fearing civilization and the evil of the homosexual lifestyle. If the homosexuals can destroy Christianity, there will be no one to tell them they are sinning.
I see your point, Anne.
It's even worse. Think of the horrors, Swill. Homosexuals are hijacking a season that's meant for children. Once they control the holiday, then they can push their homosexual agenda on the children.
It's truly shocking how far the liberals and progressives will go. But now, for something more fun, we have a special treat to the listeners out there. Christmas is a time to spend with loved ones. In moments, we'll go to Wasilla, Alaska to enjoy Christmas with our good friends, the Palins.
Let me tell you, Swill, I think it's hideous that she's not our first woman president. The way the liberal media crucified that poor woman, she could have paved the way for other women, such as myself, to become president.
Hello, Sarah, can you hear me?
Hi, Swill. Hi, Anne. Merry Christmas. I'm here with my family and... Oh, no, gosh, no, Todd. I'm on the air with Swill O'Rild.
Hey, yes, Swill.
Now, let me talk to these people, Todd.
You're having some party there, Sarah.
Yes, we like to have lots of different people, Christmas parties this time of year, and I have a new book out. Oh, gosh. Good Tidings of Great Joy. Protecting the Heart of Our Christmas, Our American Christmas.
Protecting the Heart of Christmas. This is an important work to help readers out there defend Christmas from the secularists and the ACLUists.
But this new book came out a year ago, so it's not really a new book, is it, Sarah?
Well, no, but we didn't sell enough last year because of the liberal media.
I'm going to beat that girl's ass. Where the fuck is...
Please, Bristol. Mommy's trying to...
They just fucking showed up. Go get her, Bristol.
Excuse me for a moment, Sonat. You know who we are, don't you?
Yeah, you're the quitter, Sarah Palin.
Hey, no one badmouths my wife. Get them up, you cocksuckers.
You people need to leave.
This is a public place. You can't make us leave.
I'll beat that fucking girl's ass if she don't fucking leave. Go fuck her up, Bristol. Fucking show her.
Who the fuck do you people think you are?
Sarah, it looks like we're having... Maybe someone should shut off the camera feed. Maybe go to a commercial.
Whoa, Swill, did you see that? That Bristol Palin has a mean right hook.
Why haven't we gone to a commercial yet?
Come on, Swill, this drunken brawl among those white trash lowlifes makes for good radio. I mean, television.
I demand you to stop the feed. Turn it off. This show's disparate for one of our beloved. Okay, we went to break. That was embarrassing. Another drunken brawl.
What do you mean, Swill? I think it's exemplary the way the Palins stand up for each other and work together as a family. It's only the liberal media that would try to turn a moment like this into some kind of...
Okay, if you say so, Anne.
Faux news! We distort! You comply.
And now, another episode of The City That Once Worked.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The City That Once Worked. My name's Viv Ubu, and I am the co-producer of The Ubu Hour. It's the holiday season in The City That Once Worked, and the streets are filled with shoppers, revelers, celebrating their choice of winter holiday.
Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
Happy Hanukkah!
Feliz Navidad!
It's Merry Christmas, damn it!
Almost everyone was filled with good cheer, all but one person in the city that once worked, and that person was Sharky Scales. We go now to City Hall. It's the evening of the 24th, and Sharky and his trusty secretary, Madge, are still hard at work.
Madge, I need you to take some dictation.
But Sharky, it's Christmas Eve, and my family is waiting. It's getting really late.
Well, that's too bad, Madge. But since we have a separation between church and state, it's business as usual. Besides, we have a problem. Those jerks that are demanding $15 an hour minimum wage are acting up again.
What are they doing, Sharky?
They're trying to pressure me and the other council members to raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour. That'll break us, not to mention what it'll do to business. All the businesses will move to Hillsboro and we'll be screwed. Besides, we have plenty of social services in this town. What do they need $15 an hour for anyway? We have soup kitchens and the shelters are among the best in the country. And we have a 10-year plan to end homelessness. What more do these people want from us?
Okay, Sharky. Oh, listen, Sharky. Christmas carolers are outside. I'll open a window.
Doorbell rings. Are you listening? On your brow, sweat is glistening. You're working tonight. It just isn't right. Slaving in a sweatshop wonderland. Gone away are the good jobs. Here today are the sweatshops. They want you to sew 7 days in a row, slaving in a sweatshop wonderland. In the city, Woolworth has used sweatshops, and they paid the lowest rates in town. Ask about a union, they'll say no, ma'am. Home workers do the job for the poorest pay around. Later on, they'll conspire how to raise prices higher. The plans that they've made won't make us better paid. Slaving in a sweatshop wonderland. Doorbell rings. Are you listening? On your brow, sweat is glistening. You're working tonight. It just isn't right. Slaving in a sweatshop wonderland.
Bah, humbug. Go away, you lousy commie bums. I'll have you arrested. If it weren't for all the trouble you've caused, we wouldn't be here tonight.
Sorry, Sharky. I was just trying to get a little Christmas spirit going.
Oh, all right. I can see you won't give me any peace until you get home to your damned family. I get it. You're just the worker bee while I, Sharky Scales, have to shoulder the responsibility. Madge, with that attitude, you'll never get ahead. Now be gone with you.
Oh, Sharky, thank you. It means so much to me to be with my family on Christmas Eve. Bless you, Sharky.
Bah, humbug, Madge. Now be gone with you before I change my mind. And you better be in at 7 a.m. sharp. Tomorrow we have a load of work to do. Those minimum wage folks are a giant pain in my...
Merry Christmas, Sharky.
Madge left City Hall, and as she was coming out the door, she saw the carolers.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for the carols.
You're welcome, Madge. But how can you work for Sharky? He is really fighting our demands for a $15 an hour minimum wage.
But he needs me. He wouldn't get a bit of work done without me. And even though I only get paid $7.50 an hour, I feel as if I'm really making a contribution.
Madge continued on her way home. The Trivet buses had stopped running, but after a long day at work, a long walk was just what she needed. When she finally made it to the freeway bridge under which she and her family had settled after the eviction, Madge had worked up quite an appetite.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm home.
Mom's home.
Merry Christmas, Mom.
Oh, boy, Mom's home. Now we can have Christmas.
Look, Madge, I found the best meal. I went to the Pearl District and found all of this great food in the dumpster.
Oh, Bob, that's wonderful. I'm the happiest woman in the entire city that once worked. And where's my little Tim?
Mom, I'm here. Merry Christmas and God bless everyone.
Why are you so late, Madge?
Oh, you know, Sharky had to deal with the minimum wage activists. I wish they would leave him alone. He's under so much pressure. That street fee issue just took it right out of him, and now he's worried that if the minimum wage goes up, the city that once worked will go broke.
There you go. Always worried about Sharky. Did you ever consider, Madge, that if it weren't for him, you wouldn't be living under this bridge? Between getting evicted to make room for the Airbnb customers and then not making enough to rent a new place within 30 miles of city limits, we're in a real pickle.
Hush, Bob. Why, I'm just so grateful to have a job, as Sharky likes to remind me. Now let's give thanks to Sharky and to little baby cheeses for all they have given us.
All right.
While Madge and Bob Cratchit and their many children were celebrating the birth of their Lord under the 405 bridge, we returned to City Hall, where Sharky was getting ready to leave for the night.
Enough for tonight. Damn that Madge, that's the problem with this support staff. They haven't got the proper work ethic. Next time she tries to hit me up for a raise, I'll remind her that I was kind enough to let her go home early tonight. It's only 9 p.m. too!
Sharky rang up his driver and was soon heading over to his home in East Havmarland. On the way, he was startled by something he thought he heard and saw as they passed the Lone Fir Cemetery.
What was that? Oh, it's probably nothing. Maybe a touch of food poisoning from that burger from Holman's. I'll have to tell Madge to remind me not to order from that dump anymore.
As the car pulled up to Sharky's dark house, Sharky was momentarily surprised, and then he remembered.
Oh, right. I forgot that Mrs. Sharky went to her family's house for Christmas.
Good night, and Merry Christmas, Mayor Scales.
Huh? Oh, yeah, right. Bah humbug.
Is there anything else you need, sir?
What do you want, a tip? Well, forget it. I pay you enough, don't I? Don't I? Friggin' ingrates. I should just fire the lot of you. You all expect Christmas Eve off, and then you angle for tips and raises. You should all be grateful to have jobs.
Thanks, Mayor Scales. Merry Christmas.
Bah.
Sharky entered his cold, dark house in East Havmarland. After he rummaged in the fridge for something to eat and poured himself a big glass of wine from the wine cellar, he ate and then immediately went to bed. It had been a long day, and while others in the city that once worked were making merry, Sharky had put a long day in. As Sharky climbed the stairs, they seemed creakier than normal. Soon, Sharky was sleeping like the dead, but all of a sudden, he was shaken awake.
What the? What's going on?
Hello, Sharky Scales. I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
Who? How did you get in this house? I'm calling the cops.
Never mind that, Sharky. Come with me.
But it's pouring outside, and I'm in my jammies.
You'll be fine. Come with me. Now come.
Sharky and the ghost were outside in bright sunlight. Sharky rubbed his eyes. There were houses and kids and buses and, why, they were in the city that once worked, except it was 1975.
What is this, ghost? It looks like the 70s.
Oh, it is, Sharky. You're a young whippersnapper then, minking minimum wage at Eve's Buffet in Hawthorne Fred Meyer store.
That's right. You could get breakfast for a buck.
That's right. And how much did you pay for rent?
I shared a house with four other guys, and I don't think I paid more than $50 a month. And gas was about 50 cents a gallon. Those were the days.
Indeed, you were able to live well on minimum wage, weren't you, Sharky?
I sure could. We always had plenty of money then, and we didn't whine like they do now.
But there was a cloud on your happiness even then. There was a girl. What was her name?
Belle was her name, the love of my life. But don't tell the missus.
Let's take a look.
The ghost and Sharky walked toward a young couple sitting on a bench.
That's me and Belle. We're young, but can't they hear us?
They can't hear or see us. Listen.
Sharky. Sharky, I am so sorry, but I can't marry you. Over the past year, I've seen you become more ambitious. Your morality has slipped for political purposes.
Sharky,
you plagiarized. Pardoned Nazi worshippers, and are way too cozy with developers. Where's your soul, Sharky?
No, I'll change, Belle. I promise.
No, Sharky. The truth is, I can no longer love you, and I have found another.
No, Belle. Belle, you are fading away. Come back, Belle. I'll change. No, don't leave me, Belle.
There, Sharky. They're gone now. Look. Here you are, all snug in your bed in East Havmoreland.
So it was just a bad dream. It must have been a bad batch of wine. I wondered about that last case I got from the Vintners Association. Granted, it was free, but still.
Soon, Sharky was sleeping like the dead, but all of a sudden, he was shaken awake.
Sharky! Sharky Scales! It's time to wake up!
What? What's going on? I've just gone back to sleep, damn it! Who are you, anyway?
I am the ghost of Christmas present. And I don't mean the kind you wrap up in shiny paper, Sharky. Now, come with me, please.
But I want to sleep. I'm tired of running around town in the middle of the night.
But this won't take long.
Where are we going?
We're here already. We are coming to visit your trusty secretary, Madge.
Madge? What is Madge doing under the 405 bridge? Why isn't she at home with her family? After all, that's all she's whined about from 7 p.m. on. You'd think I was running a social service agency over at City Hall. They want this day off and that concession. Christ. And now they want $15 an hour. It's that damned union's fault.
There, there, Sharky. Let's go in. They won't be able to hear or see us. Let's go.
But it's cold and raining. I don't know about this. Are you sure it's safe?
No one can hear us, Sharky.
Bob, this dinner is delicious. You must have found a great dumpster.
We found the best, Madge, in the Pearl. We hit up places recommended in the Willamette Trough. We figured that you deserve a fancy dinner after slaving away for that miserly Sharky Scales.
Oh, Bob, you know I'm lucky to even have a job in this economy. And it could be worse. What if Effie Smith had won the election? He's a maniac, I hear. At least with Sharky, I know where I stand, and the job does put some bread on the table.
Still, if ever I have a chance, I'd like to give Sharky a piece of my mind.
Bob, that's enough. Let's just enjoy Christmas with the children, and later I'll tell you about the $15 an hour carolers I saw tonight.
Oh, all right. I just hate to see you exploited while slaving for that no-good Sharky Scales.
Ho, ho, ho! You kids, little Tim too, let's have some fun. Look at what I brought home, a Christmas tree.
Where on earth did you find it, Madge?
They were giving them away at the last minute at the tree stand. Come on, kids, let's decorate. I have some tin can lids. Look, shiny. We'll string them up. Isn't this fun?
God bless us, everyone!
Ghost? Was this for real?
I'm afraid it is, Sharky. You see, after you made your deal with Airbnb to rid the city that once worked of its pushy and obnoxious citizens, some of the good citizens, like Madge, were also evicted.
No, no, that can't be.
Madge and her family were in a fix. Her husband, Bob, has been out of work. And you know how expensive it is to have a bunch of kids. And then you get a special needs kid, like little Tim.
And what about poor little Tim? What's wrong with him?
There is nothing that can be done now. The damage has been done. Little Tim didn't get the food he needed to grow right. I'm not saying it was your fault, Sharky, but little Tim has never had an organic vegetable, and it affected his growth.
I'm so sorry. I had no idea Madge has to live under the bridge, and that little Tim wasn't able to get the organic vegetables he needed to grow up straight and tall. I feel terrible.
Sharky realized that he was in total darkness and silence. He was no longer under the 405 bridge, nor was the ghost of Christmas present anywhere to be seen. Sharky felt so alone, and suddenly an apparition approached. It was silent, but it firmly guided Sharky away. This was the ghost of Christmas future.
Going. It's getting really late and I have to get up in the morning. This won't take too long, right?
The ghost didn't answer, but in a second, Sharky was back under the 405 bridge. This time, there were no happy faces. Madge had just come home from work looking exhausted and sick and went straight to the sleeping bag where little Tim lay. Bob was seated beside him.
How is he doing, Bob?
We're losing him, Madge.
It's my fault. I should have never left him while I was slaving for that bastard Sharky Scales.
I had no idea she felt that way. And here, I thought I was such a great boss. She even got me a cup that said, World's Greatest Boss, on National Bosses Day. And what did I give her for National Secretary's Day? Nothing! I swear, next year I will email her and ask her to send herself a card. That should help.
Oh no, Bob! He's gone! My baby is gone!
It's Sharky Scales' fault. Damn Sharky Scales! Damn him to hell!
That's right! Damn Sharky Scales to hell! No more Ms. Nice Guy for me! I'm joining the $15 an hour minimum wage people!
Sharky found himself flying through space, holding the hand of the ghost of Christmas future. They landed on Sharky's front yard in East Havmoreland.
What? Why, that's my house. How strange, though. The lawn hasn't been mowed. Everything's looking messy. It looked fine this evening.
The ghost put its finger to its lips as if to say, shh. Just then, he saw two men breaking open a basement window.
Yeah. Shh. I hear the old man got a wine cellar.
They're gonna steal my wine.
I heard the old man died in his bed.
Died? Who are they talking about?
I heard that no one found him for 3 or 4 days and that the place still stinks. But we're going to the basement.
Didn't he used to be the mayor or some kind of big shot around here?
That was a long time ago. The city of once worked was ruined after he and his developer pals took over. No one could afford to live here anymore.
But then the earthquake came and scared off all the climate refugees. I think they all headed to Nebraska.
Oh my God, that's me they're talking about. Is that what kind of person that... Is that what people really think of me? I expected at least a statue or a public building named after me, but what do I get? Just being known as the guy who killed the city that once worked? That's horrible.
Sharky and the ghost were next to a gravestone in the darkest, most remote corner of Lone Fir Cemetery.
Where are we? No, I can't look.
It was freezing cold and the wind cut right through Sharky. The ghost of Christmas Future took Sharky by the hand and made him read the gravestone.
It says, "Herein lies Sharky Scales, mayor of the city that once worked. But look, it's all grown over. And look at the graffiti. It says things like, Sharky Scales sucks. No street fee. Affordable housing. Wait, that's Saltyman's job. End police violence. I'll have a word with Chief Reeks about that. Wait, I'm all alone. Ghost? I demand you take me home now. Oh no, this is terrible. Here is my gravestone covered with a horrible, mean graffiti, and I'm all alone. If I can get out of here alive, I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll stop being such a dick, and we'll start doing good things for the city that once worked. I promise."
The next morning came, Christmas morning. Sharky Scales awoke in his own bed. He jumped out of bed, thrilled to see he was still alive.
I'm alive!
Sharky threw open the door, and the bright light blinded him.
Wow, the sun! Hey, kid, what day is this?
It's Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, kid. Want to make some money, kid? Run up to New Sleason's and pick up a Christmas dinner with all the fixings.
Yes, sir.
This is so great. I'm alive. What a beautiful day.
As Sharky got ready while waiting for the kid to return with the feast, he thought about what had happened over the night.
Wow, I get it. I really get it. While I was getting all cozy with the developers and Airbnb, I forgot there are real families. Good, solid, working class people like Madge and Bob and that guy at the newsstand. And the guys who clean the streets. They deserve to live in the city that once worked, even if some of them are pains in the you-know-whats.
The kid came back with the extra special meal from New Sleason's. Sharky called his driver, and soon they were heading toward the 405 bridge. Sharky and his driver pulled up with a special dinner from New Sleason's. Again, he found Madge and her family under the bridge, opening their Christmas stockings.
Cool, old socks. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
This is awesome. Some secondhand underwear, Mom and Dad. You're the greatest.
I'm going in, Madge. Bob, kids, Merry Christmas.
Sharky, what are you doing here? I can explain.
No explanations needed, Madge. I learned last night of the disastrous consequences of our housing policies. We never meant to direct those policies against you, Madge. Good, hardworking, too busy to concern yourselves with city government. People like yourselves deserve a place to live. We were just trying to get rid of the troublemakers.
Well, Sharky, I am not your nice little citizen anymore. I'm joining the troublemakers, and we plan to sweep City Hall clean of your corrupt ways. What's this? Presents? Turkey dinner? What the fuck, Sharky? You're like an abusive spouse. Sure, you come crawling for forgiveness now, but what will it be like in the office? And speaking of which, I'm late for work. You said to be in the office by 7 a.m., remember?
No, Madge. Take the day off. I've changed. Everything will be different now. We'll get you a house. No need to live under the bridge. I'm sure there is some place that will take you, and I'm giving you a raise, Madge, to $15 an hour.
You're too late, Sharky. I am joining the union, and I demand that your concessions will apply to all workers in the city that once worked. Affordable housing and living wages for everyone.
You tell them, Madge.
Yay, Mom! Yay, Mom! Yay!
But Madge, not everyone is as deserving as you. Let's not go crazy here. Some of those minimum wage activists are rough customers. I wouldn't want you running with a bad crowd.
Sharky, I've been living under a bridge for a year. I think I can handle it. Now skedaddle, we're going Christmas caroling.
Dashing through downtown on Insurrection Day. We'll chase the cops around, laughing all the way. Bosses next we'll ring as we set their world alight. What fun it is to laugh and sing a riot song tonight. Oh, anarchy, anarchy, anarchy's for me. Oh, what fun it is to throw the state into the sea.
Oh. Madge, that's so extreme. I don't understand what happened. I've changed, really. It will all be different.
The City That Once Worked was written and produced by Virginia Furr, directed by Virginia Furr and Rolf Sandbreven. Voices were provided by the following people.
Red Electrical Tape.
Sam Probona.
Shirley Certain.
Virginia Furr.
Bob.
Larry.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Paul Mitzu.
Be warned that the following program may contain religious content that will be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is strongly advised.
And now, Ubu Hour Radio Theater presents exciting tales from the Bible.
Committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and adulteress shall surely be put to death.
That seems rather harsh, doesn't it?
And if a man lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination.
Abomination! Abomination! Abomination.
They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
Abomination! Their blood upon them! Abomination! Their blood upon them! Abomination! Their blood upon them! Abomination.
Soon everything we knew will be gone.
Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither.
the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
My father, Methuselah, and to me, today that birthright passes.
We can't go there. Is he?
We have no choice. Hurry.
Evening and morning,
another day. In the waters of the world gathered together, and in their midst emerged dry land. Another day passed, and the ground put forth the growing things, a thick blanket of green stretching across all creation. The waters, too, teemed with life. Great creatures of the deep that are no more. Vast multitudes of fish, some of which may still swim beneath these seas. And soon, the sky was streaming with birds. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. Now the whole world was full of living beings. Everything that creeps, everything that crawls, and every beast that walks upon the ground. And it was good. It was all good. There was light and air and water and soil, all clean and unspoiled. The plants and fish and fowl and beast, each after their own kind, all part of the greater whole, all in their place, and all was in balance. It was paradise, the jewel in the Creator's palm. And the Creator made man, and by his side woman, father and mother of us all. He gave them a choice. Follow the temptation of darkness, or hold on to the blessing of light.
She awakes from the dream. The man sleeps beside her. Then she again sees the serpent, asleep and drooped over the man's thigh and leg. At the tip of its throbbing head, its one eye leers at her, and then the eye winks and becomes a round mouth. A tiny red tongue flickers in and out of the mouth hole.
Why are you there, serpent? Lying limp on Adam's thigh.
Won't you run your fingers up and down my smooth back?
We ought to see Methuselah. My grandpa.
We can't go there.
Listen to me! I'm talking to you! Stop all that! Now they've got all the animals doing it too! Fuck me! Fuck! I'm throwing you out of the garden!
In an angry snit, he destroys the garden. It won't be the last time he vents his wrath on his creation, flushing most of it down a vast toilet sink in a torrential flood.
Since Adam's sin has walked within us.
Thank you.
world. We did this. Man did this. Everything that was beautiful, everything that was good, we shattered. Now, begins again. Air, water, earth, plant, fish, bird, and beast. Paradise returns. But this time, this time there will be no men. If we were to enter the garden again, it would only be to destroy it once more. No. The Creator has judged us. Mankind must end. Shemanila, you will bury your mother and I. Ham, we'll bury them. Japheth will lay you to rest. You, Japheth, you will be the last man. In time, you too will return to the dust. Creation will be left alone. Safe.
Soldiers, Father. They are just people. There is room.
There is no room for them.
come to ask for your blessing.
I don't understand.
I am with child.
No!
Presents exciting tales of the Old Testament, brought alive through the powers of radio theater.
Have a special treat to the listeners out there.
Up next, we present, to celebrate the holiday season,
good tidings of great joy, protecting the heart of our Christmas.
Written and performed by Sarah Palin.
Walgreens' 24-page nationwide circular used the word holiday 36 times without one mention of Christmas. An angry atheist with a lawyer is one of the most powerful persons in America. It is Christ who empowers every act of goodwill toward men in our otherwise fallen hearts. Many on the left see faith and family as oppressive, but the right sees them as indispensable.
Woo!
It's about that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes who arrived long before hope and change became political manipulations. Perhaps Christmas causes so much anger because the very name of the holiday broadcasts the name above all names. Roger Ailes, the president of Fox News Network, once asked me, "What the bleep
fuck
is so offensive about putting up a plastic Jewish family on my lawn at Christmas time?" The logical result of atheism, a result we have seen right in front of our eyes in one of the world's oldest and proudest nations, is severe moral decay. There are few things that anger a secular liberal atheist more than a horizontal plank intersecting a vertical plank, a cross, on public land. The war on Christmas is the tip of the spear in a larger battle to secularize our culture and make true religious freedom a thing of America's past. Yet we can't print enough currency or food stamps or free Obamaphone vouchers to compensate for failing families.
The preceding audio drama.
Good tidings of great joy, protecting the heart of our Christmas.
Was performed
and written by Sarah Palin.
Guy named Johnny.
Johnny?
Yeah.
Is he tall, brunette, a little underweight?
Yep.
He doesn't work here anymore.
Since when?
Look, I said he doesn't work here anymore.
Frankie, get over to the shredding stack. We need four more.
With every Christmas. Hey, Pop! The next time you see your little skinny ass, pimply faced friend, you tell him I'm gonna kick his ass if I ever see him. You tell him that, okay?
Be merry.
This has been the Ubu Radio Theater Hour, coming at you every first Monday at 11 p.m. here on KBOO Portland.
We won't be back until next month, but have no fear, because there's radio theater every Monday night.
If you want to listen to this program again or other Ubu Hour shows, you can podcast us on the web.
Go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U.
And we'll see you next month when the Ubu Hour brings you the thrilling audio drama.
Without God as an oppressive political manipulation.
Stay tuned for the Tiki Cha Cha Club.
Pay attention, it's Joe time. Olé, olé, it's Joe time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
Welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people, you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd think the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room.
It likes to be seen and it loves to be heard. Most little birdies will fly away, but the tiki room birds are here every day.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
a little louder.
Tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room, all the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the tiki 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 room.
Thank you.